ceux qui les enseignent, ceux qui les ont préparés, celles qui les ont préparés, doivent être aussi félicités. Merci. Maintenant, nous aurons quelques discours et nous commencerons par le docteur Spuller, président du conseil d'administration, qui va vous dire quelques mots. Dr. Spuller, president of the council, will now speak to you.
Mesdames, Mesdemoiselles et Messieurs, Ladies and Gentlemen, ouvrons cette soirée qui doit célébrer le cinquantenaire de Saint-Georges. Parmi des nombreux invités, j'ai le plaisir et aussi l'honneur de saluer la présence de Son Excellence l'ambassadeur d'Angleterre, Sir Rosy et Madame Rosy. Monsieur Amiguet, sous-préfet du district de Vevey. Monsieur Lambert, municipal. Monsieur Lamblet, pardon, municipal. Madame Bulla, présidente du conseil. Monsieur Pierre Gudet, directeur des écoles secondaires. À tous et à toutes, je souhaite la bienvenue. 1927, c'est encore l'âge d'or de Montreux, avec ses balles au Grand Hôtel et sa colonie anglaise, alors très nombreuse, et qui met ses garçons à Chillon Collège. Alors que pour ses filles, il y a encore peu de possibilités. C'est dans ces circonstances, et aussi à cause de ces circonstances, que Miss Northwell et Miss Fox ont décidé d'ouvrir une école semblable pour jeunes filles. Ce furent les fondatrices de l'école, qui fut ouverte le 23 avril 1927, le jour de la Saint-Georges. Peu après, sous la direction de Mildor, on ajouta un jardin d'enfants, puis, comme la renommée s'étend et que les élèves affluent, on les loge dans deux villas, Murillo et Dubochet. Mais ce ne sont que les prémices d'une prochaine grandeur qui sera Saint-Georges School S.A. Aux 2 francs le mètre carré, notez bien, on trouve un vaste terrain entre Clarence et Burier, dont vous pouvez ce soir apprécier la situation unique. Le docteur Darcy Chessé préside le conseil d'administration et M. David Boer sera l'architecte d'un nouveau et grand bâtiment qui pourra abriter toutes les élèves disséminés jusqu'alors. Et c'est 1931 l'inauguration du bâtiment qui a lieu par une belle après-midi de juin et l'école toute resplendissante ouvre ses portes et ses pelouses à tous ses invités. Elle compte alors déjà 71 pensionnaires et 41 externes, soit 10 fois plus que 3 ans auparavant. 1939, la Suisse est coupée de l'Angleterre et l'école de ses ressources. Miss Southwell dirige à Londres la branche anglaise, tandis que Miss Guy réussit l'exploit de faire vivre à Clarence une école anglaise sans anglaise. Donc, 1945, l'école de convalescence retrouve sa vitalité et s'agrandit d'une aile en 59 et grâce à des dons d'une piscine en 63. Pendant tout ce temps, c'est-à-dire pendant une quarantaine d'années jusqu'en 1977, Mademoiselle Traversini a dirigé en qualité de bursar la section économique de Saint-Georges avec une conscience et une fidélité qui ont été infiniment précieuses à l'école. Et maintenant, je ne mettrai pas un point final à l'énumération de ces étapes. Si une institution a vécu un demi-siècle sans grave maladie, c'est qu'elle possède une bonne constitution et une forte vitalité. Elle a donc tous les moyens de préparer son avenir. Si de son passé, elle doit conserver l'esprit que lui ont insufflé Miss Northwell et Miss Potts, elle doit dans l'avenir chercher à conserver sa renommée en perfectionnant son enseignement et la formation de ses élèves, en améliorant ses laboratoires et surtout en installant une bibliothèque plus moderne dont elle a un urgent besoin. En 50 ans, de nombreuses mutations se sont faites dans la société. La femme se libère, prend de nouvelles options et des connaissances qui lui permettent d'obtenir des situations inatteignables il y a encore peu de temps. L'école doit être à même de la préparer à cet avenir. Pour terminer, je vous propose de pousser 3 hurrahs en l'honneur de Miss Potts, ici présente, et à qui je vais remettre un souvenir qui lui rappellera une fois dans les brumes de la Grande-Bretagne les jours ensoleillés de Clarence. Hip, hip, hip. Hip, hip, hip.
n'avez pas la moindre idée que vous alliez me donner quelque chose de si merveilleux. J'aimerais que toute l'écho, que tous les visites voient ce magnifique tableau de Saint-Georges, de la région de Saint-Georges. Moi, j'allais vous dire dans mon discours beaucoup de choses pour vous montrer combien de personnes ont contribué à l'agrandissement de Saint-Georges, à l'esprit de Saint-Georges, à tout ce que Saint-Georges a fait pour la félicité de tant des élèves qui sont venus ici. Ce n'est pas moi qu'on doit remercier, mais je suis si j'apporterai en Angleterre ce tableau avec tant de reconnaissance, avec tant d'appréciation. Il n'est pas nécessaire, pas du tout, qu'on me donne quelque chose pour me faire penser à Saint-Georges, parce que je pense très souvent à Saint-Georges, je peux vous assurer. Mais ça, c'est magnifique. Et j'aimerais bien que tout le monde le voie. Je crois que le soir commence maintenant. Il n'est pas possible de voir ce magnifique chose. Et j'aimerais bien que M.
Là, je n'ai plus besoin de vous présenter Miss Potts. Vous savez que c'est une grande joie pour nous qu'elle soit là. C'est merveilleux parce qu'il y avait des grèves et nous avons craint qu'elle ne puisse pas être là. Alors nous sommes dans la joie. It's marvelous that Miss Potts is here this evening. Because of a strike, we were afraid she couldn't be here.
C'est qu'il y a toujours le Swissair. I like the Swiss air. I always travel by Swiss air. Monsieur Spuller, Dr. Spuller vous a fait tous nos accueils. Et alors moi, il a parlé en français. Moi, je vais vous parler en anglais parce que nous allons alors vous montrer que c'est une école ici où on parle, j'espère, et l'anglais et le français, et que chacune comprend les deux langues. So, as Dr. Spuler has spoken to you in French, I will speak to you in English. I shall take that privilege. And he has said he has made the history of the school. He has told you how it began. He has told you the main events. And he has said to me that I should tell you some of the little anecdotes that have happened to us. Some things perhaps that nobody else knows but I, who was one of the founders of the school. And so I will tell you one or two of the things, making comments on what our president has said. And the first thing I want to say was about the year 1926. 1926 is a long time ago now, but in 1926, Miss Southall and I had a talk. She was then secretary of the Sion College, Dr. Spuler has talked about. And I was headmistress of a school in England, in Guildford, near London. And we both of us said, one to the other, how lovely it would be if we could have a school for girls in Switzerland, like Sion College was for boys. A school where they could have their whole education, a school where they could be prepared for the university. But most of the schools in Switzerland for girls were what were called finishing schools for girls who were not going on to universities. And then Miss Southall said to me, and why shouldn't we try to found a school such as that in Switzerland? And I said to her,
and why shouldn't we? And then I think was the beginning of St. George's School. She went back to Switzerland and she went on with her work and she talked to a great many people in Switzerland that we honored, whose opinion we wanted to have, and I tried to find what support there would be in England for a school such as St. George's. And then in the holidays we used to meet and we used to talk things over and we used to compare our ideas. We had some very strong ideas about what St. George's should be like. For one thing, it was to be an international school, because we wanted to make a small contribution to the peace of the world. The disarmament conference was going on in Geneva at that time, and we felt that anything anybody could do to create peace in the world, was what we should all try for. So that was to be one of our objectives. Another was that we should have a very high standard of academic achievement, so that girls could be prepared to go to their universities all over the world. Another thing was that we wanted to be in French Switzerland, because we both so loved French Switzerland. Another thing was that we must be in beautiful surroundings, so that the girls could be brought up in lovely places that they would remember all their lives. And so we began to talk to our friends in Switzerland, the people whose opinions we valued. We talked to Monsieur Darcy Chesse, whose nephew is now sitting on the platform beside me. And he was very encouraging. We talked to Mr. Stibbs, whose daughter is, I believe, in this audience now. And he was the managing director of Bellaria. And he said he had two small daughters, and if we made a school, he would send them to us at once. And then we said to each other that the school must belong to Switzerland. It mustn't be just an English school started by two English people, but it must belong to Switzerland itself. And so, having no capital of our own, and not really having any idea how we could get the money to start a school, we bought a copy of the Code Civil Suisse. And we studied it. And we found the bits that talked about how to found a Swiss company and what a Swiss company was. And then we can think of nobody better to go to than Monsieur Robert Maron, who was the syndic at that time, and Monsieur Robert Maron was also a famous solicitor. And to our immense surprise, and of course tremendous delight, he said he would take us on, and he would form a company. And so he helped us form the Société Anonyme École Saint-Georges, which was a very grand title that we had never thought of having. And then, to our surprise, shareholders began to come in. And they were Swiss and they were English. And we got quite a lot of money from our shareholders. And then, to our surprise, parents came and they brought their children. And they brought so many children that we began to grow so quickly that we didn't really know where to put them. Dr. Spuler has told you how we had our little chalet, the Printanière, which you can still see in the Rue de Torrent at Caron. And then we had, as he has explained, the Villa Murillo. And then we had, he has also said, one of the Villa Rivoche. And then we still wanted more. So we had a floor in the Hotel Liliana, and then that wasn't enough. And so we had a floor in the Hotel Quetra. And all that time, every holidays, I was coming out to look with Miss Southall at hotels that were for sale. But we could never find a hotel that was worthy to belong to the Société Anonyme Saint-Georges. And so in the end, we drew a long breath and we went to talk to Monsieur Mabon, and we decided that we must choose a site and we must build. That was a very frightening decision to make. However, we made it with the encouragement of our friends. Then the question was, where was the site to be? And we looked and we looked and we looked. And Mr. and Mrs. Debs had an idea that there was a very splendid site, the other side of the Station de Burier, the little station of Burier, where there was a level site where we could have our games. But somehow we didn't want to be quite so near the station. And in the end we heard that there was a certain lady called Madame Baron Banner, who had a big site for sale not very far from the newly built Asile des Vieillards, which we all know, and not there and overlooked by the Emperor, which is over there. It was approached by a little meandering path from the old road that took the old buses along. And we found the little old path, and this was the first important day, I want to tell you, in the history of the school. It really was very important, because we walked up that little meandering path, having found it, came over the summit, and came to this lovely site on which the school is built now. In front, on the right of us, was a hill with a beautiful, picturesque old farm on it, the Ferme Sangatta, which is now no longer there. In the distance on the left was an attractive-looking chalet, which is now ours, and in front of which is our swimming pool, which Lady Mitchell helped us to build. In the distance were all those lovely views we wanted the school to look at from time to time. Montpellier, the Jeannin, the Rocher de Mai. We knew that they were lovely. We knew what was behind us, the lake, and the views we're all so fond of, all of us who lived in this part of the world. And simultaneously, Miss Hartman and I said, this is the place for Saint-Georges. But of course, we couldn't do anything about it without going to consult our advisors. And greatly to our surprise and our joy, they all said, yes, this will do for Saint-Georges. Then came the choice of a builder. Who was to build our new Saint-Georges? Three famous architects submitted plans, among them Monsieur Boer, who lived at the Ketterer at the time. All the little girls in the kindergarten, Miss Dawes' Jardin d'Enfants, submitted plans. And I can only remember two of the plans. One was Monsieur Boyer's. One was one done by a little girl. It was a most beautiful building. It had in the middle, on the first floor, a very large room. And Miss Southwell said, and what is that room for? Oh, said the little girl, it's a very big bedroom, and it's for you and Miss Potts to be. You're such great friends, and it's such fun when you're a friend to share a bedroom. And I, said the little girl, have put it in the very middle, so that you shall hear everything that's going on, and you shall also share in all the fun. Well, that was a very attractive idea, of course, but we then had to look at Monsieur Boer's. Monsieur Boer's plans were quite superb. We had told him what we wanted, and he said to us, when you build a school or any building, you must make up your mind exactly what you want before you start building, because when once the building has begun, it's going to take a very long, it's going to be very expensive indeed to get anything changed. And then I think the school must have wondered what we were doing, because for some time we appeared to be shut up in a private room talking to each other. What we were doing was poring over the plans, thinking and discussing and imagining and talking to the people who would have to live in those rooms, talking to the people who would have to work in those rooms, poring over the plans again, imagining the sizes of all the rooms, getting it all into proportion. And so we did. And at last we said, we mustn't really go on like this any longer, and we must tell Monsieur Boer that he could begin. Already we had taken possession of the site. People from all over the room walked up to the site and made a circle. The chaplain said a prayer. We sang our school song, which of course is, I will lift up mine eyes under the hills, Evadi Ocudos. And the head girl stood with the St. George's flag in her hand, and somehow, it was mercifully windy, unfurled the flag. So we had taken possession. And then, I must just get these dates right. That was on December 2nd, 1928, when we took formal possession of the school. Then followed the period of intense activity, and then the school was begun. And Dr. Spuler has told you how on July 11th, 1931, the school was officially opened. We had already lived in it for one term, and it was officially opened in that summer term on a radiant and most beautiful day. I think I would like to say to you, in fact, I think I must, what Dr. Spuler said to all the pupils on that occasion. Dr. Spuler was in the chair. We had as our main speaker Mr. Professor Gilbert Murray, who was very keen about international ideals and who had done a lot of useful work in Geneva. But Dr. Spuler, who was in the chair, had a message for all the pupils. And he turned, having talked in French, he then turned to them and said in English, and this I'm going to read to you. I said Dr. Spuler, and Dr. Spuler has just whispered to me, Dr. Chesse. Of course, it was Dr. Darcy Chesse, our first president. He said, "You who have the good fortune to grow up in an atmosphere of comprehension and felicity, to store up during the great years past at St. George's reserves of courage and independence, bear away with you the radiant remembrance of those sunny days. Never lose your freshness of spirit, your spontaneity, your gaiety. Always be strong and joyous, even in the presence of the difficulties of life." And I would like to say that in the time that I've known Georgians, I have had so many letters from them. They do bear with them their spontaneity, their strength, and their joyousness, even in the presence of the difficulties of life. And that is my tribute to the Georgians. In 1934, we realized that there was really not room now that the school was built for two headmistresses. And George, as she was called, was, we must keep some George. I want to pay at this point a tribute to her loyalty, to her brilliance, to her wonderful genius. She was the most remarkable person. Everybody who knew her loved her. And at once, as soon as St. George's was started, she began to be called George. And even now, when people write to me, they never say Miss Southall. They always say George. And George, she would always be to all of us. So George stayed to look after St. George's. And I answered a call to England and went to England, hoping that I should always be able to help in Switzerland whenever I was needed. Well, I've told you about one very important day in the history of the school, and that was the day when Miss Southwell and I walked up this little path and found this site. There was another day, I go back to 1929, when I was still at Guildford High School, and I was sitting in my office when Miss Guy passed my window and looked in. Miss Guy had been at school with me, and I knew her. She was staying with her sister in Guildford. I had just that very morning had a letter from Miss Southall saying that our games mistress had fallen down on the ice and had concussion, and she was going to be out of action for some time. Miss George said to me, could you possibly find somebody to take her place? So I beckoned this guy in, and I said to her, will you go to Switzerland to look after the winter sports that are going on there at our new St. George's and do all that the games mistress at present has been doing? Yes, I will, said Mr. Guy, without any thought at all. When, said I? I think I could manage the day after tomorrow, said Miss Guy. And off she went. And I don't need to tell you what an enormous amount she has meant to the school. I found, while I was looking at old records, what Mr. Stewart said as a member of the council when Miss Guy left. This is a matter of history now for us all. He said, the school broke up in the July of 1938, and Miss Southwell and Miss Guy went to England. It was felt that even if war did not break out, few people would wish to send their daughters to the continent for the autumn term. Many plans were suggested, and finally it was decided to open up a school in England, keep on a skeleton staff in Switzerland, and try and hold the school together until better times came and the school could return to its own home. We, of course, knew nothing about the length of time the war was going to last. Mr. Tibbs went on, I mention these details because I wish to bring in the fact of the great revelation. That revelation was Miss Angela Guy. Up to that time, we had not heard a great deal about Miss Guy. We all knew she was a most capable person, but I doubt whether she even realized what tremendous possibilities of organization and administration she possessed. She was supposed to be coming out to Switzerland just to carry on with a skeleton staff until the better times came. Instead of just carrying on as she was supposed to do, she just went ahead and made St. George's the most successful English girls' school on the continent during the war years. The whole of Shuttlar, our rival school, had gone to England. Well, when Miss Southwell came back after the war, the English contingent, there was the school open, ready, and the two schools, the English school and the Swiss school, were able to link up together and become again one school. I think you will agree that that day that this guy looked in at my window was a very important day indeed in the history of the school. She had with her a marvellous staff. She had Mademoiselle Goldsmith, who had been on the staff of the school ever since the very first day on which the school was opened. She had Mademoiselle Traversini, who had been with us since 1936, and who, like Miss Guy, could do everything she set her hand to. And so she had she had a lot of other very helpful people. And to those people who helped Miss Guy through the war and who had this school in spite of all the difficulties, we do owe a tremendous debt of gratitude. St. George's would not be what it is today if it hadn't been for the school that Miss Guy and Miss Goldsmith, Mademoiselle Traversini, and those who were working with them kept alive during that time. There are, of course, many, many, many people who have contributed to the school during these 50 years. I couldn't possibly mention them all, but you, all of you, know some of them. It is to these people that St. George's owes its existence today, first to our first council under the chairmanship of Dr. Darcy Chessy, then to Dr. Spooner now, who became her successor. Miss Guy was successor to Dr. Miss Southall was successor to Dr. Darcy Chessy, and at her very strong wish, Dr. Spooner took on from her. Then to Maître Chessy, our vice president, who is the nephew of Dr. Darcy Chessy, so that the name Chessy is very highly honoured in our school. To all the other people that you know and that I know, I do give so many thanks. We've had so many difficulties. When England went off the gold standard and the pound went to 17 francs from 25, George and I said to each other, if the pound goes any lower, we shall have to close the school. And here it is at 4 francs to the pound. And under its able headmaster and its splendid able head and his able wife and a splendid staff, some who have been here for very many years and know the school very well, I do think we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude. So those are my anecdotes which I have added to Dr. Spooner's account, and I know you will join with me in saying a very warm thank you indeed to all our many friends, known and unknown, who have helped us through all our sorrowful times and our difficult times, and who have rejoiced with us in our joyous times.
Vos applaudissements, vous exprimez toute votre reconnaissance aussi à Miss Potts et à Miss Southwell, ces fondatrices qui ont eu une foi dans la marche de l'école, qui ont persévéré toujours, et c'est vraiment merveilleux de l'avoir aujourd'hui parmi nous. Et malgré toutes les vicissitudes et tout ce qui s'est passé, l'école est là et elle marche, et il y a beaucoup de jeunes, et c'est merveilleux. Nous avons la joie et aussi c'est un très grand honneur pour nous d'avoir parmi nous Son Excellence Monsieur Rodney, ambassadeur de Grande-Bretagne à Berne, qui va maintenant nous dire quelques mots. His Excellency Sir Rodney is now speaking.
Headmaster, members of the council of the school, Miss Potts, forgive my back, really rather rude of me. It's a great honour for my wife and me to be here with you on this 50th anniversary occasion. You will notice that I've taken care so far not to say that it's also a great pleasure, and let me explain why. If you remember, well, anyway, in the days when I was in the nursery, there was a saying that children should be seen but not heard. And I was rather hoping that this occasion here at Saint-Georges today would be an occasion on which the British ambassador might be seen but not heard. However, it is not to be so, and I'm very pleased to say just quelques mots. I thought at one moment, Miss Potts, that you were going to draw me into the subject of the British economy. Now, you may understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it is one of the burdens which a British ambassador has to bear in Switzerland, especially if he goes to Zurich or to Basel, to make a speech about the state of the British economy. Now, you may or may not, in your scholastic circles here, know the story of the, let's say, the headmaster of a school who distributed to a class of girls a number of books on the penguin. And he said, "Now, girls, I want you to read this book, and at the end of the week, I want you to hand in an essay on that subject for me." So at the end of the week, all the little girls handed in their essays, and one little girl had written an essay which consisted of one sentence, which went as follows: "This book has taught me rather more about the penguin than I really wish to know." Coming back for a moment to the British economy, I feel if I spoke on that subject tonight, I would be telling you a little more than you really wish to know. Coming nearer home, may I just take this opportunity of saying that although I recognize that the school is a Swiss Société Anonyme, it is, by its very nature, inherent in its makeup, one of those many channels for communication between the Swiss and the British people. I'm in a happy position as British ambassador to the Swiss Confederation of not having too many difficult bilateral problems on my plate. Relations between our two countries have for many, many years been of the most excellent. We will even pass over that sad occasion during the war when, totally by mistake, I hasten to say, the RAF succeeded in dropping a bomb or two on Swiss territory. But this, I notice, is a mistake which the Swiss have long since forgiven us British for. By and large, and indeed much more than by and large, the relations between our two countries have been and are excellent, and I trust as long as I'm in charge of the British side of them in Bern, will continue to be excellent and get even better. Be that as it may, it is the institution of a school like Saint-Georges which helps to keep the contacts between our countries close, helps to draw nationals of both our countries closer together. Therefore, speaking, as it were, as the political representative of Her Majesty the Queen, I too have a grateful stake in all that has been done at this school, and I wish it as successful the 50 years to come as it has just had in the past. Thank you.
Remercions pour l'excellence de ces mots et sommes persuadés que les relations entre nos pays continueront à être ce qu'elles sont. Et maintenant, nous avons M. Lamblay, municipal, qui va nous dire quelques mots au nom des autorités. M. Lamblay will speak the name of the authority of Montreux. Thank you.
Madame, Monsieur l'ambassadeur, Monsieur le président du conseil d'administration, Monsieur le directeur. Au nom des autorités montreusiennes, donc je me permets également d'associer Madame Bulla, présidente du conseil communal, pour vous apporter le message et les vœux. Je ne voudrais pas également manquer de vous remercier très sincèrement de l'honneur que vous nous faites en nous conviant à participer à cette manifestation. Madame, c'est surtout à vous que je me permets de m'adresser pour vous exprimer combien nous sommes sensibles de l'importance pour vous de cet anniversaire que vous célébrez ce soir. Ces 50 années qui représentent pour vous autant d'étapes, souvent difficiles, j'imagine, mais combien enrichissantes dans le chemin constamment changeant de l'enseignement qui, lui, doit s'adapter jour après jour à l'évolution des connaissances, à l'évolution des techniques. Et je pense que ce soir, ça doit être pour vous une immense récompense de constater combien tout ce public qui est là vous est reconnaissant et vous est attaché. Et je voudrais également souligner combien le témoignage de ces charmantes demoiselles ici présentes qui nous ont gratifié d'un merveilleux spectacle tout à l'heure témoigne, elle, de la vitalité de l'école. Cette vitalité sans laquelle une école ne peut pas se développer. Elles sont autant ces demoiselles qui, je crois, viennent du monde entier, de tous les azimuts, sous tous les horizons, elles sont autant d'ambassadrices de la qualité de l'enseignement que vous leur avez dispensé année après année. Et toutes ces générations de jeunes filles sont également, je le souhaite en tout cas, autant d'ambassadrices des charmes de Montreux qu'elles ont appris à découvrir pendant les quelques années où elles ont vécu ici dans cette magnifique maison de Saint-Jean. Je ne voudrais pas terminer, madame et monsieur le président du conseil d'administration, monsieur le directeur également, qui avait la lourde charge de conduire cette maison, sans vous féliciter pour tout ce qui est, mais également formuler mes voeux pour que cette étape importante que vous soulignez ce jour soit le prélude à d'aussi nombreuses et futures nouvelles étapes aussi réjouissantes et aussi souriantes et aussi pleines d'avenir que celles qui nous sont découvertes ce soir. Je vous remercie.
Remercions Monsieur Lamblet des paroles qu'il a eues pour l'école et nous y associons aussi, comme il a dit tout à l'heure, Madame Bulla, présidente du conseil communal de Montreux, qui nous a fait aussi l'honneur d'être là ce soir avec son époux et nous l'en remercions. Pour terminer cette partie des discours, notre directeur, M. Wright, veut vous dire encore quelques mots.
Je vous assure, ce sera seulement quelques mots. Monsieur le Président, Mademoiselle la Fondatrice, Votre Excellence, Madame Watney, Mesdames, Mesdemoiselles, Messieurs, de la part de tous ceux qui s'intéressent au progrès et à la prospérité de notre école, je voudrais remercier tout le monde qui nous a envoyé des dons en réponse à notre appel pour une nouvelle bibliothèque et pour des matériaux audiovisuels dont nous avons bien besoin. Nous avons lancé un appel pour 200 000 francs et déjà dans un seul mois nous avons reçu presque 50 000. Ce qui m'a frappé plus particulièrement sont les lettres d'appréciation pour l'école qui ont accompagné ces dons. Il y a des anciennes élèves qui ont contribué, des anciens professeurs et surveillantes, des parents d'anciens élèves et des parents des élèves qui sont avec nous aujourd'hui. Je pense à un professeur qui est venu ici en 1927, un des premiers. Elle m'a écrit une lettre qui m'a vraiment ému, et dans cette lettre, elle a mis un billet d'un livre sterling. Un livre sterling, pas 17 francs, pas 12 francs ces jours-ci, seulement 4 francs. Mais pour elle, c'était vraiment ce qu'on dit en anglais a widow's mite. Ça veut dire le denier de veuve dont notre Seigneur parle dans la Bible. Il y a d'autres personnes qui ont pu nous donner des sommes très importantes. Nous allons publier les noms de tous ceux qui nous ont donné ces cadeaux dans notre revue annuelle. À tous ceux qui ont contribué, à tous ceux qui ont l'intention de contribuer à l'avenir, un très grand et chaleureux merci. Now, if I may just say very briefly what I've been hoping, trying to say in French, simply, I hope it was very clear, simply to say that, as you know, we have this appeal for the library and for some audiovisual equipment which we badly need. And we've asked for 200,000 francs. The appeal was only launched just a little over a month ago, and already we have received something like 50,000 francs. But what has struck me in particular has been the letters that have accompanied these gifts. Letters from all sorts of people, old former teachers, former pupils, parents of former pupils, parents of pupils who are here today, all expressing their appreciation for what St. George's has meant to them or to their daughters, and showing their appreciation in this most wonderful way. I've had letters from teachers who were here right at the beginning in 1927. I've had a letter and a gift from the very first head girl, too, of St. George's. So as you see, the interest is amazing, has been maintained right over these 50 years in this school. These pupils clearly had something to take away with them when they left, and they haven't forgotten it. And so then we are very, very grateful to all those of you who have given us such generous gifts, and for those who intend to do so. Now, I've got just one announcement to make. I'm sure you're all hungry by now. You ought to be. And we have prepared, I think, a very nice buffet supper for you. Now, there are a lot of us here, and so what we're doing, the girls know about this, is that when you go out, those of you who are visitors, would you go out to our salon, turn left and go to the dining room. And the girls will, and they may be your daughters and your parents here.